Say, Father, give me ears to hear.
Father, give me ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And a heart to perceive.
And a heart to perceive.
What your word is saying to me.
What your word is saying to me.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Sunday, I kind of bounced on you guys about the chosen and the elect. Well, this afternoon, I kept hearing over in my heart, I have overcome the world. And I heard it yesterday as well. Well, I didn't remember where that was, and I just gave it up. Lord, you're going to give me the answer when it's time. And he did. But in my research, he took me to this particular verse, which ties Sunday's message with tonight's message. And that's Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. Revelations chapter 17, verse 14. They will war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph over them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those with him and on his side are chosen and called, and in parentheses in the Amplified it says elected, and loyal and faithful followers. Isn't that cool? It tied into Sunday, and I had no clue. Because when I give you all the other stuff that he gave me, you'll see the connections. All right? So, if you go to John, the book of John, and you go to chapter 16, you'll see the closing verse, 33. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. That was the word that I heard. Now, I want to back it up a little bit and go to verse 25. He says, though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. So now he's wanting them to wake up. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. So now he's giving them a heads up. This is what's going to happen. Then Jesus' disciple says, now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Because before he was always talking in parables. And they couldn't figure him out. Or at least part-time. Now we can see that you know all things and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God. So sometimes I remember when I was a young Christian, I wanted to say, oh Lord, I wish I was alive when you were alive on the earth. And he says, oh dummy. You would have probably been one of the Pharisees.
Oh, I would have been a good one.
You would have been a good one.
I would have been.
Okay, so you see, we were on the same team, you see. But he took and he kind of shook me loose. Okay. Verse 31. You believe at last, Jesus answered. So look at the frustration in him now. But a time is coming and has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home. That's pretty neat. That's a prophetic word for him. He's talking to all 12 of them. You will leave me all alone. That was your...
Yes.
See? You will leave me all alone. Yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. So he was totally alone. He was totally alone in the garden, too. Couldn't handle their going to sleep. They were there, but they couldn't take the pressure. Amen?
Pressure. They weren't under any pressure.
Oh, yes, they were.
I mean, in comparison to the pressure he was under?
We can't compare it because, again, you have to remember, they were from Adam. He was the new creation. Yeah. See? And you cannot compare our Savior, even though he was the Son of Man, to a normal man because he wasn't normal. His background was Father with no problem, no sin in him, no sin nature. Okay? So he was teaching from a different level. He was teaching and he was telling them, this is what's happening. I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Notice it's in him you have peace. Okay? In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. So sometimes our circumstances get a little bit, okay, and the boat is shaking, and that's what we talked about earlier. If you start focusing on the boat and how it's shaking and how the wind is blowing, you're going to be in trouble. But if you keep your eyes on the Lord, you're going to be at peace because the same Jesus that's in you is in me. But I'm learning that he has overcome the world. How many try to overcome their own weaknesses? Well, look at your neighbor. Say, dummy, quit it. God is the only one that can solve your problem. Because Jesus has overcome the world. And all of its weaknesses. Amen? So I got to rely on him. That doesn't mean you're dumb now. Don't get me wrong. Keep on going with John 17:1. After Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And I don't want to go into the prayer. I just want you to see the progression that he's trying to give you so that you don't get bent out of shape. But we're going to go to another little corner here. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom of God, the Father, after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. So that's still coming, isn't it? Revelation 3:21. To him who overcomes, I will give the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. It's also confirmed in Revelation 5:5. Revelation 6:2 says, I looked, and there before me was a white horse. Its rider held a bow, and he was given a crown, and he rode out as a conqueror bent on conquest. Revelation 17. Remember, verse 14. Then they will make war against the Lamb, but the Lamb will overcome them, because he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and with him will be his called, chosen, and faithful followers. And the Amplified says, and the elect. They're called the elected. The presence of the victorious Christ is alive and well inside of each of us. But sometimes we are so focused on the world and the world's ways of doing things that we get all tangled up. And when we are tangled up, what are we doing? We're screaming at Jesus, wake up, wake up, wake up. Help! And I'm not crying out to tell you that I've never done it. Yes, I have. I'm going to give you Isaiah 53:12. Isaiah 53:12. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That includes Peter and you and me. Peter made a backup. He fell apart. And when he fell apart, he gave us an example that we're not hopeless. We're not hopeless. That also means we're not helpless. Last verse, Matthew 12:20. That should be the way that you treat your neighbors, that they're falling apart and backing up. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out, till he leads justice to victory. So his intent was not to break Peter, it was to warn him. How many Peters do I have in here? Right? So Peter is not a bad guy, he's just normal. And the others followed suit. It is true that John did stay focused. But, you know, I look at this as there's hope for all of us when we're focused on the Lord. But as soon as we focus on the world, we need to remember he overcame the world. And when we're in Christ, when we're in joined together as one unit, we are also overcomers. And when that happens, that means that even if you're in a bad space, someone out there is interceding for you. Someone out there will pick up on it and be praying for you. Sunday morning, I was getting ready, and I kept seeing this man's face in my spirit. So I kept praying for him, and then I saw another man. And I had to pray for both of them. And I kept saying, I don't know, Lord, maybe we're going to get to see them or whatever, but it didn't happen. Yesterday afternoon, the phone rings. And it was the man. He said, how are you? I says, I'm damn lonely. That's the problem. I said, are you about to fix it? And he said, yes, I will. And so I teased him. And he mentions the other person. And I said, and all right, now where have you been? And he says, well, this and this and this and all the details, you know, and I'm not going there. But the bottom line is, he had a real difficult space, but it all came out with a mighty, mighty miracle. So you never know what God's going to do when you are interceding. Now, they're both part of the body, okay? But there was extenuating circumstances, and they both had a need. But there was a mighty miracle that came about. My neighbor, he actually is attending his grandson's graduation from high school down in Florida. And many years ago, he did not approve of this grandson. Just didn't like him. And he didn't appreciate the father of the child. He didn't appreciate the mother, because his own daughter. And he was angry. And he's kind of bitter, and he's sputtering around. And this is about 15 years ago. Because they had come to live with him for a while, and it didn't go well. So he's sputtering. And I looked at him, and I said, you know, buddy, I said, I am not going to agree with you. I said, this very irritation will probably be the biggest blessing in your entire life. Well, he says, I'll have to see it to believe it. Well, yesterday he came over to my yard and told me that he was flying to Florida to go to his grandson's graduation. Well, his grandson has just been accepted on the Olympic team of the United States of America. He's got a
scholarship for 50% of all his 4 years of college because of his expertise in swimming, and he learned in my pool. So, what am I saying? I said to him, because he's doesn't like to talk about the Lord, and a year ago he lost his wife at the end of the month, so that's kind of difficult, but I looked at him and I said, do you remember I told you years ago that God was not finished with that boy? Yeah. He said, but he's got a gift. I said, and yes, to Jesus be the glory. God did this. God did this. And all of a sudden, he's 88 years old, lifts his two hands towards heaven, and he says, yes, God did this. And that's a miracle. Amen. That is a miracle. Why am I saying this to you? Because the very irritation can turn into the biggest blessing. Oh. Oh. Put your Bibles down. They will wage war against the Lamb, and the Lamb will triumph over them. And he is the Lord of lords and King of kings. And those with him and on his side are chosen and called, elected, and loyal, and faithful followers. That's worth repeating. Lift your hands to him. Close your eyes. Say, Father, you've got a plan.
Father, we've got a plan.
The very irritations in my life.
Can
turn into the biggest blessing.
Can turn into the biggest blessing.
If I keep my focus.
On you.
Because you're the healer.
You're the creator.
You're the one that pours in talents.
You're the one that blesses.
And when everything seems hopeless and dark.
I need to remember.
My Jesus.
Has overcome the world
and all of its factions.
It may look like we're losing,
but we are winning.
Because the Lord,
the Lord of lords,
the King of kings,
he's on my side.
And I'm elected.
And I'm a chosen vessel.
And we're in the boat with him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Take the message home.